Jeremiah 13:23.
Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to do evil. We have in past weeks been looking at the various works of God on behalf of sinful people, sinners, if you will. And we have observed on more than one occasion that God in His grace through Jesus Christ does what we cannot possibly do. Jesus Christ coming into the world lived a perfect life. How many would say they could do the same? Not a one of us. And as some of us saw in our lesson this morning, in the earlier hour, it is common for us to say that no one is perfect. To err is human. And so Jesus Christ came and absolutely did what we could not do. He lived a perfect life. He subsequently died. And He died to pay the penalty due to people like you and me for their sins. How good it is that this is the case. He did that. We do not do it. That's the objective work of Jesus Christ. That which is out there, which is visible, a demonstration of the work of Jesus Christ. This morning we turn to the more subjective side. That which God does in us and must do in us. That which we cannot do for ourselves. But I think the text in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23 speaks to this issue of the need we have in the core and the center of our being. Verse 23 in Jeremiah 13, once again. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. I propose we work this text over from different perspectives and come to grips with our own hearts as we do so. And of course, this is the bad news which is remedied in the good news of Christ's work. And so, don't be overly alarmed as we speak of the bad news, because it is remedied in what God does for us in Jesus Christ. So I say in the first point of our outline, our problem is the practice of evil. The consequences are physical and eternal death. Again, the text which is before us, the latter part of it. Then you also can do good who are accustomed to do evil. Of course, that comes off of the rhetorical question at the beginning of the verse. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? You know, it's too bad that I really kind of felt guilty, falsely I think, about even reading this verse, because political correctness is so in the air these days. And we wonder about even uttering words like the beginning of verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? And I was reminded of the fact that several years ago we had on occasion an Ethiopian young man who was a student at Sterling College worship with us. And just a delightful young man. And my oldest daughter, Gail, will recall the Ethiopian students that she was with in high school at a boarding school in Iowa. Delightful people. And from them we learned that even though they were dark-skinned, they were Caucasian. It's hard for us to understand that this is the case, but because of the way the bloodlines run, this is the case. At any rate, delightful young people. And I remember this young man at Sterling College more particularly because he would always come in and josh about his native tongue, Amharic. And he would politely but firmly say, "My native language, Amharic, is the language of heaven." And he was serious.
Now, I don't know if Amharic is the language of heaven, but I do know this, that this person loved Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of him as I read this particular text. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the leopard change his spot? No. Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil, God said. As the tint of that skin or the spot cannot be changed, those who are accustomed, who have a bent toward, who have a disposition toward evil, cannot of themselves change their own heart. This is what God is saying through the prophet. Then you also can do good who are accustomed to do evil. You can keep your finger there in Jeremiah and turn back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John 3:10 says this, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." You see, here's a test. By this, the apostle says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. I had some email this week from a man who asked me a question about this particular concept, and he said, "Denny, are you trying to say that anyone who sins at all is not a believer and that believers ought to be free completely from sin and ought to be perfect?" No, that's not what the text tells us. There's something about the practice of track or football or any other athletic endeavor, isn't there? And I remember when I was really gung-ho for track and football and these kinds of things, I stand on the side of the football field now and wonder at myself because I really used to love doing that. At any rate, when we practice something, what do? We do it over and over and over and over again so we become more proficient. And in the midst of that practice, do we do it every time perfectly? Not at all. But we practice. The bent of our hearts is to do that which we are after. And righteousness ought to be what we are after. And those who practice evil become more evil. And they occasionally do something which is, quote, right. When they're practicing, they stumble and fall when they're practicing evil and occasionally do something which might be construed as right. And the opposite is true with those who practice that which is good. And the question is, in the text before us today, the question is in Jeremiah. Go back there if you would. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. No, you can't change if you're accustomed to doing evil. If that is the bent of your heart, that's the point. But the other side of it is, point two in our outline, God requires real change, a change of mind and heart. The Bible calls repentance. And look at our text again. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spot? The requirement is change. I went to a conference in Bloomington, Indiana this week, and one of the things that was talked about in the conference was making changes in churches which are dying. And the famous last words are, "We never did it that way before." There is a resistance to change. And there is a resistance to change in human hearts. Very interesting to me that the word change here is used by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, where he speaks of those who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they exchanged the glory of God for corruptible things,
four-footed creatures, and they worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. There was a change there. Now the change that is being spoken of in our text is in the opposite direction, is changing from evil to do good. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And the point is, you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil, you say. The answer to the rhetorical question is, no, you can't do it in and of yourself, but it is required. See, that's the profound thing that we have to see. Look quickly, if you would, at Acts 2:38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. See, this is what we're talking about. On the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins." Change! Have a change of mind! Have a profound and deep and thoroughgoing change of mind and heart and disposition and attitude. That's what he's talking about. In point three in the outline, I then say, God asks us if we honestly think we can affect change of mind and heart ourselves. And here's the person who's accustomed to doing evil. And that's the bent and disposition of their hearts. And God is asking, do you really think that you can affect the kind of change that God wants yourself? That you can change your sinful heart yourself? You really think you can do that? See, that's the question which is implicit in the text. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. I call your attention in this context to Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. See, I think this is part of the background of the text that we're looking at in Jeremiah. Romans 8, 6 through 8. So profound this is. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It seems to me Paul is so straightforward here. He takes an arrow and he draws that bow and he aims it directly at our hearts. And he says, the disposition of the flesh is death. See, this is the person who's accustomed to doing evil. The disposition, the mind set on the flesh, the disposition of the flesh is death, but the disposition of the Spirit is life and peace. You see, the one is heading towards hell. The other is heading towards heaven. And if you're heading towards hell, that's death, folks. And if you're heading towards heaven, that's life and peace. Because the disposition of the flesh is hostile towards God. The disposition, the attitude of the flesh does not want to go towards heaven. You've heard these people that astound you by saying, I'd much rather go to hell and be with my friends. You know, what kind of an attitude is that? It's craziness. It's self-destruction. Because the mind set on the flesh, the attitude of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. I'm not saying that. That's the Word of God, folks. And those who are in the flesh cannot, do not have the ability to please God because they're going in the wrong direction. They are accustomed to doing evil. Okay? And so God asks us, if we honestly think we can affect change of mind and heart ourselves. And the answer is, we cannot. We cannot. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? What's the answer? No. Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You see where this text is pointing us? So I say in the fourth point of the outline, we, that's you and me, we must come to grips with our inability to change ourselves in the profound fashion that God requires. We must come to grips with our inability to change ourselves in the profound way which God requires. I want you to look at Romans again in this context. This time, Romans 7. You all are going to get tired of me pointing to Romans 7. The example of the Apostle Paul. We had occasion to make reference to Paul a little bit earlier in the first hour. Verse 9 in Romans 7. Paul says, I once was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. Do you realize what Paul is saying here? The Apostle Paul is saying, as he looks back at his life before he was converted, that he just tra-la went along, everything was hunky-dory, everything was nice, everything was good. He even said of himself, according to the law, I am perfect. I keep everything that God requires perfectly. I do everything right. And as far as I am concerned, I am on my way to heaven. I am going in the right direction. And I am pleasing God in everything that I do. Pat me on the back, please. I was once alive. But when the commandment came, when the law of God came with power and might, with the Holy Spirit and penetrated my heart, I suddenly saw everything in a different light, and I saw that I was a dead man. I saw that I wasn't good. I saw that I wasn't perfect according to the law at all. I saw myself as God sees me. And when God opened the lid over my heart and peered in, it was as though He was looking into the pit of hell itself, into the darkness and the blackness of my heart. And I was a dead man. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived its ugly head and came up out of the darkness, and I saw it. And I saw that I was heading not for heaven, but for hell itself. And I saw that I was lost in sin. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spot? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. See, this is what Paul sees in this text, which is before us. And it's what God is attempting to point out to us in Jeremiah. And then look down to verse 19. As happens, I changed my mind later when I went through the outline. You can smile at me, it's okay. I'll read verses 18 and 19. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice. You see, this is what Paul found out. I practice the very evil that I hate. This is exactly what John says in 1 John 3:10. He says, I practice the very evil that I hate. The bent and the disposition of my heart is not good. I'm practicing that which I understand now is the very thing that God requires me not to do. And the bent and disposition of my heart is opposed to God. I'm seeing that for the first time in my life. And Paul is under deep and abiding conviction of sin here. He really is. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then you can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. And Paul saw that that's exactly where he was. I want to tell you, folks, that's exactly where we are. Outside of Jesus Christ, that's exactly where we are. And we have one recourse. We must cast ourselves on the mercy of God. We have no other choice. We must cast ourselves on the mercy of God. What else can we do? You see, we are like the individual upon whom the death penalty rests. And we stand in the court seeking a reprieve. And we look at the judge. And we say to the judge who has absolute power over the disposition of our future. And we say to the judge, Judge, have mercy. Have mercy on me. That's all we can do. We must cast ourselves on the mercy of God. Luke 18. Luke 18. And verse 13. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax gatherer. And verse 13 says, "But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his head to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he was thumping his breast in agony. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that's where we are. Is it not the case? And all pride and arrogance must go by the board when we see our hearts as God sees them. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's me." I remember writing a letter quoting that verse to a man who was living in an adulterous relationship. And he threw one accusation after another at me. And several of those accusations I had to say were correct because I didn't deal in that situation with him the way I probably should. And so I wrote back a note and just said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. If you notice, that's exactly the way it's translated in the text. In verse 13, the sinner.
So here's the point, folks. When we realize the depth of our own sin and degradation, and we look at Jesus Christ and the fact that we do have a heart inclined toward Him, we know that it wasn't within our power to change that heart. We can only say to Him, "Thank you, Lord, for renewing me, for changing me, for giving me that new heart." It was in your power to do so. And by your grace and mercy, you did do it. What else can we say? Thank you. Is there anything else? And so I say finally in this last point, then when we understand adequately all the above, then we are able to celebrate God's power in effecting change and inclining our hearts to lovingly serve Him. Is your heart inclined to lovingly serve God through Jesus Christ? Is it? Only God has the power to change the sinner's heart. You are where you are, thankfully, by the grace of God. Thanks be unto God for that. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you, we are pressed to give you grace or give you glory because of your grace. You are the gracious, merciful God. Thank you for your work in Jesus Christ. Incline our hearts, O Lord of hosts, every one of us, we pray, to serve you in Jesus' name.